Hi, this is Tony Mowbray and you're listening to Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
Yes, absolutely. Issue 498's companion podcast, of course, in time for West Ham. And so crinkly, fresh and sparklingly wonderful, etc., that it's well before the game, etc., which is one of the reasons why we're not even going to tell you the Peterborough result.
No, we're not.
That's the key thing.
We don't want to spoil the surprise.
In Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast today, oh, by the way, that is this.
From Middlesbrough to the world, this is Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
Obviously, Rob Nichols in full force here. We'll be talking about his adventures with Stuart Pearce, Ian Holloway, and indeed Teesside Hospice. So cracking stuff from that point of view. No bark at the moon letter. People have clearly actually just given up letter writing
for the duration, I think.
Absolutely. It was sorted out in all so many ways, etc. Not even a Kadeem Hussein poem this time around. But, or is there one that we might sort of think we put in and we won't put in? Because it's that kind of cutting edge routine where does he slip it by before the final whistle goes?
That's right.
A bit like, you know, one of those German sides beat Chelsea in midweek, but never mind.
He went for a curry this week. He had some sort of function on Thursday. He was going for a curry in Stockton, so that might have his mind set on that.
Could have
on food matters.
Or it could have stimulated his creative juices into all sorts of other areas.
Could have been.
Predictions were 2-0. We said we'd actually take that. We thought, I sort of thought it might be 5-0 or something from that perspective. Blackpool, I think it's, what, 31 years since Middlesbrough's last beaten Blackpool?
Is that right?
We possibly should have known that there's quite a duration of time has gone by. Obviously, many of those years we were spent in completely different divisions.
Yeah, we've not played each other a great deal.
No, exactly. McDonald, 2 goals.
Yes.
Always good from that perspective. And some really good saves from the Blackpool keeper. Could have easily been a 3-2, 4-2, etc.
Yes.
But I noticed, Rob, today you are wearing a tangerine top. That's there. Oh. You haven't been converted, have you? I have to ask this question because you never know, really.
No.
Tangerine and black, in fact, really.
Mm. I didn't think about it. I didn't think it through at all.
Yeah.
I was thinking radio, I'm safe.
This is where we may not take a photograph this time, just to avoid
that. I'll zip my top up first.
Evidently, etc. Yes. But overall, would you say, it keeps Middlesbrough certainly at the heart of the pack. Admittedly, Cardiff now are ahead of us on goal difference. You know, they're in third place, Middlesbrough in fourth. It's good, could be a lot better, but it could certainly be substantially worse.
Yeah, it's difficult. It was a really good game. Oh. Excellent game of football. But obviously we've dropped a lot of points that we could have converted a lot of draws into victories. In both cases, we were ahead. And when McDonald scored that second goal, we thought we would take the points then. But so it's disappointing that allowed them to come back at us both times. And in the end, really, you could say that we might have been hanging on, but we should have blitzed them off the park in periods. A great positive, as you mentioned, Scott McDonald. Once he scores one goal, then he scores a couple more. Mm. And he's that sort of player that, as we saw last season, he goes on like a goal-scoring streak, and that could be phenomenal. If both him and Emnes could score together, then we've converted
something. It's the twin spearhead.
It is.
Quite literally.
But the man that should have finished the game for us was Barry Robson missed two glaring chances in the first half, and he's obviously been the third scorer, hasn't he? So let's hope he can get back to form against West Ham, scoring form. I don't think he dropped his game.
However, you know, once again, I have to point out to the listener, to the podcast subscriber, to the purchaser of Fly Me to the Moon, it demonstrates without any mitigation whatsoever, and just unarguably the power of Fly Me to the Moon, because, you know, we actually have McDonald back on the goal trail. Full force. That is the lead headline of the Blackpool 497
piece,
etc. Predictive power. You sometimes don't realise the power you actually have in Flowers of the Moon in the magazine, really. I wonder if people do realise that in Middlesbrough Football Club.
And no, I hope they do now.
Exactly. Sorted through on that. So, to all, slight, teeny gripe. And I must admit, I can't sort of comment on this because I didn't go myself from that point of view, but it's quite a long time since I went to a Middlesbrough match. Major revelation, I know. I'm sorting out all sorts of things. Slightly disappointed when I saw the highlights via our British Broadcasting Corporation website, etc., to see so much space in the Riverside in terms of empty seats and so on. Now, I know that obviously there was the away fans at the away end, etc., but I still would have thought that actually, you know, top and end of the Championship, you know, pushing for promotion. I know economic times are tight, etc. It'd be nice to actually have a few more sort of folk trotting along, I
think it was about 18,000, which in real terms was probably about 8,000 up on the Bonfire Night game. But it is disappointing. Tony Mowbray mentioned a couple of weeks ago, does it change the way the team plays at all? And he says, well, one thing I have to do is, I'm a manager that just really likes to sit on the bench and watch what's going on and think about things, but now I have to get up and shout at the players and really sort of inspire them in the way that the crowd could.
I mean, I'll say this, because obviously, you know, Tony, a wonderful chap, etc., but Tony, you're not old enough to actually just say, I just want to sit down now.
He likes to be, he's a thoughtful manager. But it's interesting looking back, as I have done last week or so, back to 1986, where that legend is born about the bond of the players and the fans, that we didn't get 18,000 crowd until the last home game of the season. We didn't get 15,000 until the Boxing Day, and someone reminded me today that when we went up under Jack Charlton, the fantastic season of Charlton's champions, where we absolutely annihilated everybody in the division, that we were our average crowd was about like 13,000 or 14,000. The next season when we go up, we were starting to get we averaged 28,000. But the crowds in that season were really, really low. So there's a precedent for it. But there's no doubt about it. If we get the fans back before Christmas, then we could go on something of a charge. Mm. It would really help.
Yeah, there we are. It's a sort of a line to actually take, because, as we said, you know, Flying to the Moon also, in case you sort of haven't been paying attention to our numbers, etc., will be celebrating its 500th edition around about that time as well. So what's not to support in
Boxing Day? Precisely. What a lovely late Christmas
genius.
Gift.
Exactly. Genius. You know, the what will be a clear collector's item from Flying to the Moon. I don't, Rob, you might even sign it if people are actually sort of happy to sort of do that. If they have a copy, you know, as long as they purchase it on the day, you know, I'm sure they can have evidence of that.
God,
you know,
I remember that. John Hickton, when John Hickton's testimonial game, we all queued, and it came out in a little window. Mm. We all queued to get it.
Well, exactly. Precisely.
The brochure
signed. I think the precedent has been set. Coming up in the programme, we'll be talking, as we mentioned, about the time when Rob met Stuart, that's Stuart Pearce, of course, and we talk not Tintin, not Poirot, but other aspects of that country that sometimes people say, even in Hitchhikers of the Galaxy, not Belgium. Yeah, that we'll be talking about as well. Ian Holloway will come back to, as manager of Blackpool, and some of his comments that he said post-match, shall we say, which were very positive. Hopefully he's not angling for a post there, basically. He doesn't fancy going from West Coast to East Coast. Because, Ian, please, you know, you've got your QPR hat, you've got your Bristol hat, you've obviously got your Blackpool hat, etc. You have your Plymouth Argyle hat.
Yeah.
It's all West Coast, you know. I think, you know,
that's right.
Had it been, you know, we got in charge, you possibly would have. Yeah, exactly. Then, you know, but as it stands, perhaps not. That, and of course, Tree of Life Teesside Hospice, all of this still to come on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
From Middlesbrough to the world, this is Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
Did you know many motor insurers are owned by the same few parent companies?
No, nor did I until I spoke to personal injury solicitor Charles Arthur.
The aim of these big companies is to minimise costs by negotiating a knock-for-knock agreement or pushing you to settle quickly for a minimum payout.
So if you have an accident, you may be better off choosing an independent solicitor who acts only for you.
Of course. But then you'd expect me to say that, wouldn't you?
Call Middlesbrough 222-575 or text advice to 81400 now.
With over 80 ensuite bathrooms and high-quality care for residents, provided 24/7 by qualified nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides the perfect home for residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical and intellectual needs.
A purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick, Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate residential elderly, EMI and nursing service users, offering both short and long stay accommodation, as well as respite and daycare.
To find out more, please telephone 01642 30 81 88 or email us at info@rosevillecarecentre.com.
Roseville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Pharma Nord is the chemist to call for your nutritional needs. All of our products have been built on scientific research to help with your health. Pharma Nord can even help in such areas as senile dementia, strokes, and Alzheimer's. All our products are made in accordance with pharmaceutical standards and guidelines. And all our products are just one call away. Call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989. That's 01670 519989, or visit pharmanord.co.uk. PharmaNord, winning the war of nutrition.
When you're involved in an accident, it's traumatic, even if it's not your fault. You have the worry of whether you'll get back your lost earnings, your policy excess, or how your medical bills will be paid. The last thing you need to worry about is who's looking after your compensation claim. So don't let your insurance company pass you on to some faceless department, or some faraway call centre, or some claims lawyers. Choose proper, local solicitors who'll deal with you face-to-face. Choose the one you know, Ather & Co. Insurers are for cars. Ather & Co. are for people. Call now on 01642 222 575.
Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast with Rob Nichols and friends.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Ian Holloway, after Blackpool, Rob, fairly positive in his praise of Middlesbrough.
Unbelievable. I don't go
well,
to
it's
the...
not unbelievable.
Yeah, no, of course. Sorry, what am I talking about?
Shows he's got discerning taste.
He has got taste, yes, absolutely. Yes, in his post-match press conference, which I don't go to myself, but I was party to, I was sent the transcript. He started with the basically saying how lucky they were to escape with a point, and then talked about how they'd just come down from the Premier League, but he thought they had a good setup. And he'd seen a lot in the Premier League, but he said that this was a premier setup from the training ground to the hotel where they stayed.
Do you think he was trying to sort of have a nudge in the direction of the Oyston family and saying, of course, we were a Premier League club last week, and this is what you really need to have to sort of move back up there, really? You know,
I wonder who he was addressing, actually, who precisely were in the... But it was certainly appreciated by us. He is pointing out that how lucky we are with our chairman, of course. And everything being locally based, but maybe in a more positive manner than it is on the West Coast.
There's always that notion with respect to Ian. You always feel you should be saying, get off my land.
Yeah.
You know, get off my pack. Yeah. That sort of thing. Maybe not. Yeah, so, Ian, if you're listening, it's all right. We salute you in all sorts of ways, etc. You know, where are these things actually going to? Okay, we'll be talking about the West Ham game, obviously, in a few moments. But Stuart Pearce and Belgium. Under-21s, of course, and Stuart Pearce, the man with the 1,000-yard stare.
Yeah, you wouldn't get in his way. Yes, at leap year, and it's February the 29th, Belgium coming to the Riverside. Again, he talks about, he did a press conference at Hurworth, and we can see the obvious links there between the academy at Middlesbrough that has produced so many great players that have gone right through all the different age bands at England through the under-21s, and now progressing with like Adam Johnson and Stuart Downing after Middlesbrough, but obviously, you know, making the mark on the full England setup. So,
and in the case of Stuart Downing, obviously the Liverpool bench.
Yeah. Yeah, well, basically what he's saying is he's giving a tick to all the facilities.
Curiously, Ross Turnbull hasn't quite matched that whole system with his line at Tells Chelsea, but he has at least been sent off. So is that the marginal point?
He has indeed,
really.
That's right, yes.
So great news as far as that's concerned. And Stuart, of course, he also pointed out not in favour of goal line technology, which the Premier League have committed to more or less from next season.
Very interesting. He's from the old school, the Clough school, really, in that the referee's decision is final and he should just accept that. You remember that Nottingham Forest, no dissent was ever at the club. There was no yellows, no reds, whatever. And he thinks that should be the nature of the game, and we just get on with it. Which is interesting because he's part of the England setup. He was at the last World Cup serving as part of that, so it hasn't changed his opinion.
I take the point, but I do feel, dare I say, I think Stuart, you're possibly a little bit naive on that basis, simply because I hold with everything you said, not questioning the routines, etc. But given that sports at the highest level do actually work through that. I know the accepted version was, it's got to apply right across from the heights of the international right the way through to jumpers for goalposts and so on. Actually, tennis doesn't work like that. No sports work like that. You don't actually go to, I was going to say Prizic Base, but you can't now because obviously that's not a tennis centre. You can't go
tennis
to the tennis world and expect to have goal line technology or line technology on that basis.
Hawkeye.
Hawkeye. But you can if you're playing one of the major international tournaments.
Yeah, but he wasn't even arguing that. That wasn't the case, because it was put to him about the money in the game, and he said in no uncertain terms that he wasn't in the game for the money. It was nothing to do with that. He was in the game to win and to compete and money was not his driving force.
It's always good because it means that at least he can actually take on board the job after Fabio Capello, after England have actually won the European Championship next season, next year, I should say.
He might.
Exactly, and he could do it sort of gratis, perhaps. maybe just expenses, just a thought, you know. Maybe don't go down that line. Anyway, Stuart, we salute you.
You can tell him
basis.
That. I wouldn't.
I think we should. We're kind of similar age. We should be sort of working through that whole system. Tree of Life, Teesside Hospice and Andy Halliday.
Yes, Andy Halliday and Richie Smallwood launched the Tree of Life in the Mall, what used to be the Cleveland Centre, this week, which is it's going to be there for until the 19th of December. And it's somewhere that people can leave their Christmas wishes, and especially for sort of loved ones that are not going to be there at Christmas, which doesn't necessarily mean that they've passed on, but they just a lot of kids leave it for their grandmas or whatever, or somebody who's away. And it's the biggest single fundraising event that the hospice does every year. They hope to raise about £17,000 just from this, but when you put it against the picture that they need I think it's just short of £4,500 per day to keep running, then you see that it's so invaluable that people give to for such a something that we absolutely need here. So there's another Tree of Life at the Parkway Centre, Corby Newham, and there's one all year round at the crematorium. But it's just it's a nice place that people can leave their thoughts.
Not to be confused, of course, with the Brad Pitt movie Tree of Life, which I think was directed by Terrence Malick. Could easily be mistaken for that.
Oh, yeah.
One's a tree, one's a more sort of contemplative take on sort of life passing through the ages in 1950s America and the history of mankind, really. So it's a whole range of other factors.
Right. So Andy Halliday was interesting. He was there because a day later he was loaned out to Walsall, I think.
Life's like that.
Yeah. And he was basically saying to me that you had a great game last season away at Ipswich where he scored a goal and looked brilliant. And he said, I don't want to be remembered for one match, but he said that basically he's had a lot of injury problems ever since, injury problems that he'd had before that. And he's hoping, but he didn't want to sort of underline it, that he's put that behind him. And I think probably the idea of this loan spell is the manager sends him out and he gets a bit of first-team experience and a bit of confidence back, I think.
It's interesting that you mentioned players going out on loan, because it's quite a nice line where other clubs are actually coming to Middlesbrough and actually loaning players as opposed to the reverse of that. Obviously, that doesn't really have sort of line from that point of view.
Adam Reach has gone to Darlington as well.
Exactly, yeah. So it's an interesting sort of perspective as far as life is concerned. I wonder if even Andrew Glover might possibly find that positive. Or maybe not. It's difficult to say. Is he happy, do you think?
I don't know whether he's gone on loan himself.
Yeah, there we are.
From his son to somewhere else.
You know, it's always difficult. You know, if we could almost have a spot the Glover competition, really. You know, a bit like spot the ball, but, you know, obviously, but wider ranging, really. You know,
I see him at plenty of matches and I read his column inches.
Well, there we go. Speaking of inches, etc., you know, we're literally sort of inches away from the exciting times. Lord, that was a terrible link, wasn't it?
I was wondering where you're going there.
As I was actually reading that out, I thought, who writes this? Please, you know, the rehearsal time. We should have cleared this
should
out.
Have done,
there.
Yeah.
You know,
we're just going to talk about, was it Adrian Heath?
Inchy Heath, of course. Yes, yeah. Whole range of things. Who never played for West Ham, but did actually play for Burnley, Manchester City and Everton, amongst other sort of side of things. But we are...
Inchy?
Yeah,
we're inching towards.
We are. We're inching towards the West Ham United game.
Ah, right.
Yes. Forever blowing bubbles. In sorts of other ways, etc.
Sam.
Exactly. Sam Allardyce. I always like to refer to him in many ways. Sam Allardyce, really.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, he's a bit like Tanadice, Sam Allardyce, Sam Allardyce, really.
Well, he was a man who always touted himself. He thought he could do a job at Man United or Real Madrid, didn't he?
Still does, I think. You know, Real Madrid, Barcelona. I'm amazed that, you know, they went for Mourinho and Pep Guardiola, you know, as their men in the hot seat, so to speak.
But, you know, I was told yesterday there was considerable feeling that he could be the next England manager. Again, Sam Allardyce.
Yeah. Well, you know, obviously people need help in lots of ways, and I think people with that opinion possibly need a great deal of help in perspective and so on. It's curious how, for somebody who claims himself not a follower of the long ball game, and I'm not saying that long ball game is necessarily wrong, because some clubs actually use it very effectively, but, you know...
Stoke?
Precisely. That's more long throw, I think.
Yeah, well. Yeah,
but,
yeah. Right.
In terms...
Very direct.
Exactly, but in terms of the whole thing, I mean, clearly he's a good manager, he's a solid manager, if he gets you promoted, when he gets you promoted, he's not going to go down, I think, you know... he's unlikely to ever sort of manage a club that gets relegated because they'll always survive. But is he a winner?
Good job at Newcastle.
Exactly. Well, he'd left, I think, from that point of view. And in terms of that, but, you know...
Is he a winner? Well, he certainly wasn't a winner when he played us in the Carling Cup.
Precisely.
Double hit penalties and all.
Exactly. And there's sort of case in point. However, a lot of water has passed under the bridge since those days.
Well, yeah.
And we're not here to comment upon the fabulous world of Karen Brady, David Gold and David Sullivan because they've got their own magical scenario. And I'm sure that they're looking forward once again with keenness and enthusiasm to returning to the Riverside. Having said all of that, I don't like the phrase a must-win game, but if Middlesbrough are to harbour serious ambitions of being in the top two, then it probably becomes one of those games they really we need 3 points.
It's a fantastically timed game for us, really. You're going into the period of December when pitches might turn and when you sort of have game after game, and if we could actually win against West Ham, I think it would inspire everyone. It would inspire the team, but it would inspire the fans as well. West Ham are gambling hugely on going up. I've been told that their wage bill is beyond anything that we had or Newcastle had even in this division. Whether that's going to be sustainable in the long run, even if they do go up, I'm not sure. Because when you think of the players that left, but to be replaced by players like Nolan coming in, who'll be on a very sizable wage.
And I think it's fair to say that probably Newcastle feel that in having Demba Ba as opposed to Kevin Nolan, they've got the better bargain.
Yeah, so that will... What I'm saying really is that could produce the same sort of pressures as we saw at Leicester towards the end of the season if West Ham are not in that top two, even if in the playoffs. We can knock them down a little bit at this point.
Not that we'd rule out Nigel Pearson's Leicester either these days, because I think they might well turn the corner and start having to work through it. Even Nick Barnby at Hull, who knows?
Yeah, it's a strange turn of events.
most peculiar. You've got to offset the fact that West Ham have an excellent away record, so that must come to an end sometime. So why not, against Middlesbrough at the Riverside, is all I can say, really, from that point of view. I think it's been their away form that's been sort of preferable to their home form, although they've had some reasonable results on that basis.
We've obviously... The disappointment against Blackpool was the fact that we were starting to build. We'd won two in a row, and we thought if we could do three in a row, we could start the wins. But we haven't lost at the Riverside since February. So if we can get back to converting those draws into wins, and then suddenly it's obviously how Southampton have based everything on winning at home. You've just said about West Ham having a very good away record. That can be a problem if really you want to be stronger at home. I think ideally over a whole season.
This podcast will be going out just after the Peterborough game. If you're listening to this via our online services and so on, We would hope, in theory, despite the fact that Darren Ferguson's in charge again at Peterborough, etc., we would hope that's actually been a good result and hopefully has been a good 3 points, because, again, that will obviously help in terms of momentum. But it's always difficult to tell. Peterborough, for so often, is one of the sort of staging posts that sort of suggests you're on your way to London and you take one of those train services, basically.
This is London Road as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, Peterborough, we defeated Peterborough in the Cup, the Carling Cup, earlier in the season. It was probably the best first half performance of the season, I would say, but it didn't knock Peterborough off the course, because they'd had a long unbeaten run at home, and to get two goals knocked past them in that first half, and the manager to talk about how they'd seen been outclassed, but to get back on the bike again, so to speak, and start beating teams away from home as well. I think that's what's happened to West Ham as well. West Ham have been knocked back a few times already this season, particularly early on. They didn't sort of blaze the trail right at the start.
Was very patchy.
So that you've got it's essential that after each defeat you come back like Middlesbrough did after the Southampton game to win those two games against the Doncaster game.
Well, it's just assuming that Peterborough and West Ham will obviously have a couple more defeats to actually sort of get back on track again as another sort of stage, basically. So just work through on that premise. How do people subscribe to Fly Me to the Moon, the magazine?
Just in time for issue 500.
Exactly.
You don't want to miss out.
Diamond. So now, will you be having a look back over sort of previous classic fire? Because I know there are other magazines that we've worked with, etc., where when they reach a milestone,
landmark.
And a landmark, they usually sort of have favourite covers, and they always have a centre spread of the sort of covers that you actually have on that basis.
It's kind of a weird thing to do, though. It's Boxing Day, isn't it? You think, oh no, there's like 50% going to be like Christmas.
It's the annual, it's the early annual.
And then, of course, we think back to last Boxing Day, and it was none, was it? Because
every
single toilet block was
but
frozen
But as we said at the time, there was a kind of prescience in terms of that because it was one of those rare occasions where Fly Me to the Moon referred to Knott's Forest as opposed to Nottingham Forest.
Oh, I know, yes. You're right.
So, you know, the fates were all put into place on that sort of basis. Right. One of those very, very rare errata that crept into the whole scenario.
Well, I think I did Watford Town once, and I think I've got to say to you that, Alex, I never corrected you, but you mentioned Watford Town in a podcast not that long ago.
Yeah, absolutely right. Well, to me, there always will be Watford Town, really.
Well, I know that really gets the goat because they've got that rivalry with Luton Town.
Exactly, I know. Well, you know, Bedfordshire. One to say? Hertfordshire, absolutely. Bedfordshire, etc. Bless them. Yes. Marvellous.
Give or take a county.
So how do people subscribe?
Yes, indeed. Go to the website, www.fmttm.com, and look for subscribe, or email me at robshrug@gmail.com. You can write as well, I suppose. Fly Me to the Moon, Unit 7, Brentnell Centre, Jilks Street, Middlesbrough, TS1, 5AP.
Splendid. No co-presenters this week because clearly they just couldn't cope with the sort of remarkably fresh service that we were putting together in terms of the West Ham game. So the next game that comes up obviously will be Brighton. We'll hopefully again get that in all sorts of marvellous ways. So it serves, basically all it remains for us to say. Yeah, I should have really rewritten this script. I really should. I don't know. Sort of to do. It's for Rob to... By the way, did Martha enjoy her birthday on the last...
She did.
Splendid.
She did, yes.
Did anybody have their birthday for West Ham?
Yes.
Oh.
One of the ex-editors and writer called Miniature G will be 40 on the West Ham game.
Miniature G. Happy
40.
Big 40. See, it's a nice little anniversary thing from that point of view. It's brilliant stuff. So would you like to use the usual sort of utterance to actually wrap up this fantastic Fly Me to the Moon podcast? Over to you, Rob.
Come on, Borough, and up the Borough.
From Middlesbrough to the world, this is Fly Me to the Moon. The podcast.